Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first Word Vomit Podcast of 2018, a podcast where we give our take on the worlds of video games, music, comics, movies, and television. I am your host, Emmanuel. On this episode, we have the handsome ransom, Randy Kings.
Yep.
And we're recording from Garage Studio. This podcast is free for your listening pleasure. If you want to help this podcast out, make sure you subscribe, like, and share with your friends. Randy Kings.
Hey.
What is up?
2018.
The first episode.
Yes, number one. We've been gone for a while.
Yeah. And I got to explain that one. Let's just go ahead and clear the air with that.
Yeah.
The first one was for Christmas.
Yes.
I wanted us to not have to worry about it. My Christmas was pretty hectic.
Yeah.
I think you were saying it was the same for you.
Yes, it was.
So it would have been really hard to try to fit all that in while trying to have fun with the family and friends for the season. So... And I really should have told you ahead of time because you actually sent me the message the day before.
I thought we were going to record.
And you're just like, are we doing this?
Was it like Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
I was like, hey, are we going to record? I didn't have a problem with we did. I just wanted to make sure what we were doing.
And then for New Year's, I got sick. So I got sick the day after Christmas. Mm. So I ended up going back to work.
Ugh.
And
oh, that sucks.
I was sick. Yeah. Oh, no, it was a bad time. I went to work for 2 days. Was it two? No, I think it was three. No, 2 days. 3 days. But by then, I was like, okay, I'm going to give myself a three-day weekend. 4 day because everybody had New Year's off. And I thought, okay, if I can at least get enough sleep and rest and orange juice and water and soup, whatever you do to fight off a cold or a flu, that I'd be fine for the recording.
Mm-hmm.
You had sent me the message, and I looked at the phone, and I tried to get up. And it was one of those things where you get up, and then you just flop down.
Yeah.
And I was just like, no. Okay. Do it.
I was like, cool.
So the second one wasn't a New Year's one. I would have actually really liked to have the New Year's one because it would have been posted on New Year's.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I wouldn't have been able to keep up. You would have heard a lot of like phlegmy coughs and whatnot. Nobody wants
Mm-mm.
to hear that.
It would be the sick episode.
Yeah.
That's not, you know what I was going to say? Because we're on episode 92 now. I don't want that to be on our over there.
We don't want the sick episode.
We got a new year.
Here's the thing: if that were to happen, it wouldn't be called the sick episode. It'd be called the quarantined episode.
The quarantine episode.
Because we're not leaving Garage Studios for a while.
I'm like, thanks, bro. You got me sick.
No, I'm saying like we're all, the way I'm saying it is like we're already sick.
Yep.
We're patient zero and one.
Damn it! What the hell, man? Anyway. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
And there's a part of me that feels like Sean Vander would want to get in there as
he's like, hey, guys, what are you guys doing? I'm like, oh, damn it. Get
can
away.
Can I come in? No, we're going to get you sick.
No. Nope.
Come on, guys, it's okay. I don't mind. Dude,
Just dial in.
Go away.
Actually, we just have him dial in, man.
Yeah. And then he somehow still manages to find himself inside. Like,
yeah.
You looked away and we looked back. Like, the camera pans to the left and it comes to the right.
Yeah,
and he's
just
sitting there.
Yeah.
No explanation whatsoever. And he doesn't even know how that happened.
Nope. That'd be about right.
That sounds like Sean Vander.
That sounds like something that would happen. But yeah, so exciting things on Christmas, though? Did you do anything fun, aside from family and stuff?
No, not really.
Yeah.
This past season was very low-key. Of course, I popped when the Foo Fighters performed at Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah, super good.
And because you know me, I'm just a huge Foo
Fighters
fan.
Well, they're great. You can't go wrong with Foo Fighters.
The last song that they did was it starts off as Everlong. And then backup singers come in for a holiday song when they just start singing. And then they start playing the Charlie Brown theme.
Oh, God,
that
so good.
So cool. And then I remember thinking to myself, I think I brought up the argument that Dave Grohl needs to do the New Year's show last year.
Yeah.
After we had that whole thing with Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
And then...
We all agreed, I believe.
We all agreed. And then I watched a little bit of it. I think you watched more of it than
I did. Yeah. For this year? Oh, yeah. No, I watched the whole thing.
And you were saying that while it was clearly an improvement from last year, it was still a very dull and boring
performance.
It was
not exciting.
Like she didn't try really hard?
No, not at all. I mean, granted, I'm sure it's to be safe. But in being really safe, it was also very boring. Yeah, I can say that. It was very boring. And especially since there's all this stuff that goes around her performance. I mean, I get it because you hire the name. But like they say, she got paid like $3.7 or $4 million.
Is that more than she got last year?
I don't know. I didn't want to look at that because it made me go, "What the hell, man? Why you keep bringing her back?"
What happened last year? What is so enticing to get Mariah Carey?
I mean,
she say that she was going to take $1 million less?
I mean,
is that what it was?
Like, what gets me is I get it. She did. I mean, for any Mariah Carey fans, I'm not trying to disparage you or her per se. I am saying sometimes you just need to transition out, girl. I look at her now. She's like, for musicians, she's like Ric Flair to me. Ric Flair is amazing. He is a great showman. He can do cool things still, but he's also very old.
Past their prime.
Past their prime. Physically past their prime for what they're doing. Not saying Mariah Carey's old by any means. She's still.
Although she's older.
She is older. She's not a. She's been doing this since the 90s.
And she
like
was still
late
a little,
80s, early 90s.
And she was like, in the 90s, she was a little older.
So
than,
it's like,
than
yes.
like your standard variety pop diva.
So I'm just saying, girl, maybe you just need to tap out. Get someone else up there. Get like, you know, what's that? Sia. You can do
that.
Something. Somebody else.
Do that and invest your money so that it just doesn't disappear and you have to start using your name for small
like,
things.
Like she's doing now. Like yeah. I'd ask, what has she done lately as far as new music? My sister brought up the fact that she sang or she wrote a song. And I believe she sang it for a Christmas song for the Hallmark Channel. I'm like, that does not count. Like, this is Mariah Carey. Has she done
We're talking
anything?
About, she had her own movie.
Yeah.
Granted, it was a terrible movie.
Yeah, yeah. Hey,
but she
did.
Had her own movie.
Yeah.
You know? Okay.
So I'm like, it wasn't terrible. Again, it wasn't terrible.
So we got a lot to talk about.
There's a ton of stuff that's happening.
We're going to try to condense it all into the hour episode.
We're going to try and do an hour only.
Yeah.
I feel like we're not going to succeed in that.
Let's see what we can knock out.
All right. Well, let's crank it out. So we talk about a little bit on New Year's. Mariah Carey, if you guys haven't seen it yet, look online. I'm sure you can see.
You be the judge. Yeah, you be the judge.
I think it's just boring. I mean, it's not terrible, but it is boring. There were... Yeah, it's not. I mean, there's a whole people say it's T Gate or whatever it is.
Again, it's not that it was bad. It's
no,
just it's uninspired.
It was an improvement from last year, which isn't saying a lot.
Hmm.
All right.
I didn't think it'd be a better improvement for that. So, yeah.
So bad. I'm just remembering last year when we talked about this, when Sean Vander was trying to defend Mariah Carey. And I'm like, did you actually watch the performance, bro? Because it is not good.
So here's the thing that now that you bring that up, did you actually?
Yeah.
Okay. So. One of the things that you sent me in the message of was Jodie Foster's response or
comments.
Comments
she
about
was doing...
the superhero genre movies.
Yes, Jodie Foster, amazing actor, director. She's been acting in Hollywood. She's been doing things in Hollywood since like she was 7 years old, very young. She made a comment as she's promoting her. She directed an episode for season 4 of Black Mirror. For anyone who isn't watching it, watch Black Mirror. It's fucking awesome. It's on Netflix. Anyway, she had made a comment about how. She does not like the superhero movie genre. That she herself is not interested in making a $200 million movie, and that essentially it's hurting the film industry.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up the article right now so that we can get
the exact details.
The exact
but
details.
She was not kind to the hero film genre.
Okay, so this was posted by the Telegraph.
Yes, well, I think she interviewed for somebody else. But
she
yes,
did,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So when asked about these types of things. She said the following. Going to the movies has become like a theme park. Studios making bad content in order to appeal to the masses and shareholders is like fracking. You get the best return right now, but you wreck the earth. Way to throw in the environmental jab there,
yeah.
Jodie Foster. It's ruining the viewing habits of the American population and then ultimately the rest of the world. I don't want to make a 200 million, and then it has in quotations, 150 million pounds. Movies about superheroes. Asked whether she would ever consider making a film about a superhero, she said she would consider it, but only if they had really complex psychology. Good luck making Batman.
I mean, there's a lot of movies that have complex psychology
yeah.
that are hero genre. Fucking watch V for Vendetta. Good Lord.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Try doing a...
Or The Crow. How about that?
An Alan Moore movie or
Alan
Moore comic.
Yeah.
See if you could do that. Have fun.
Good luck on that, sister.
Okay, so when you told me about this, and
yes.
I did a little bit of research on it, the first thing that came to my mind, the first question that I asked
yeah.
was, Jodie Foster, did you actually watch any of the current movies before you made your comment?
Yeah.
Because that's generally how it goes, is
yeah.
that you only get these small portions. They'll see the trailers and think that they already have the entire movie figured out.
Yeah, which, sorry to interrupt there, which to say isn't necessarily... not the case, because there's a lot of times you watch a movie for any genre, you watch the trailer and bam, they just told you the whole movie, essentially all the cool parts you would want to see.
That's one of those movies that you want to avoid.
Yeah, that's in any
you know,
film,
you
not
know
just
like
that.
A perfect example was Sucker Punch, where the trailer was all you really needed.
Yeah.
And then you watch Sucker Punch and you're just like, I feel empty inside.
I don't know, I actually enjoyed Sucker Punch. It's like it's not a perfect by far means no, but it's a movie that I was like, you know, they could have cut out like half an hour of this movie. and like maybe get rid of one of those layers.
I think all it was just too much. It was just like they were trying to make so many visuals out of it. And it's just
and too many layers because there's like supposed to be three different realities. And I'm like, why don't you just dial it back, bro?
Yeah.
Just any Inception. Calm down.
But going back to Jodie Foster. So, yeah, that was the first thing that I thought. Like, have you actually seen the movies before you made your decision? Or not your decision. I'm sorry, your comments.
Yeah.
And if you did, what was it that you saw in those movies that made you feel is ruining everything?
Yeah, which movie, first of all?
Yeah, because what we have right now, we're being very, very spoiled.
Yeah.
But there were superhero movies that came out once upon a time nowhere near what's coming out now. You know, we have stories that are developing the characters as we go. It's not everything's wrapped up in a nice little bow by the end of the 110-minute movie run.
Yeah.
Or depending on what other movie you're watching, like 120 minutes.
Yes.
Because it's building towards something bigger and something better.
Yes.
I could understand. I think one of the responses that James Gunn, and I'll look up that one for the entire thing, but one of the responses that he's made is that she's, as you mentioned before, she's been in movies for a long time.
Yeah.
That's been her entire livelihood. So she's set in her ways.
Yes.
And the belief of how movies should be. But
to be fair to her, the superhero movie genre, although it hasn't been, it's not like it's before the mid 2000s when we started getting like the Marvel Cinema Universe in, it's not like they didn't exist, except they were definitely not prevalent as much since since her time.
Do you think she's upset because of the fact that they're taking up a lot of?
I mean, that's just the question.
A lot of space.
I mean, she's not the first person to make comments like that. I mean, Steven Spielberg, I believe he's the one who had said that the superhero movie genre bubble is going to burst soon, and that was like 6 years ago. He said that, and we're still we still have is it on projection for 5 more years of Marvel films,
especially once Disney acquired the Fox stuff.
Oh my god!
Just like now they are just gonna. I feel they are going to go crazy, but
yes.
I'm sure there was already things that they had written down, like, once we get these guys back, because it's going to happen, here's where we want to go.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it comes down to is that she is from the older transitional phase of Hollywood, and that for the types of movies she's made, it makes sense that she would behave this way. And I don't fault her for it, per se, but I mean, I agree with James Gunn. Like, you can find the comments that he says here. He basically says, maybe you have to see a good one. You have to see, he takes very good care of his films.
Right, so
Guardians of the Galaxy is an amazing film, not just visually, but the characters are really cool.
One of the issues with it, too, is that it almost feels like what you're saying is there is a formula to movies.
Of course there is, and there is.
But they have to be this way.
Yeah.
That you can't think outside of the box,
yes.
That you can't come up with radical ideas and have just the crazy imagination. It almost sounds like everything has to be Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case.
No.
Because, I'm not saying any of these things to try to insult Jodie Foster.
No,
but
not at all.
But Miss Foster, if someone ever passes this over to her or something.
She's listening right now.
Yeah. Even though it's not actually live recorded.
Yes.
But
maybe she's listening.
If you were to be put in the same room as us in Garage Studios, you would find that our tastes are completely different.
Yeah.
That we have different things that we grew up to. I mean, look at Garage Studios. There are a ton of nerdy shit here.
Yeah, a lot of pop culture
stuff.
Some
of the coolest things you will find.
Yeah.
I don't see anything that I would think that she would really enjoy here.
No, not at all.
She's
not into any of this stuff.
She's not into any of this stuff, right. And that's just the idea of it. There's no way of cinema to be the exact same thing. It is an ever-evolving thing because everybody's tastes are ever-evolving.
And, and trends change.
The worst thing, and this was actually a joke that I can't remember if it was Patton Oswalt. It was Patton Oswalt where he talks about how his kid is going to hate the stuff that he loves.
He's going to be some preppy jock guy, picking on his nerdy dad who's got a Star Wars t-shirt on.
He's like, "Hey, Dad, you want this giant size X-Men? Do a push-up."
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what's going to happen to the next generation.
Yeah,
the things that we think is really cool, everyone else is just going to raise an eyebrow and be like, "Huh?"
Yeah.
I mean, it's happening now. For me, it's come down to the point where I always told myself I was never going to be that cranky old man who talked about music was better back in my days. cranky old man.
This is the platform on which you say music was better in those days.
And guess what? I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I like that because...
It's okay to like what you like.
Right. But at the same time, I'm not going to knock any other aspiring artist Mm-mm. that's going to try something different.
Exactly.
I may not listen to it. Mm-hmm. I may not promote it. But I'm not going to go on the air and say, like, this is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't work that way. Because their music is going to inspire somebody else.
Yeah.
And they're going to want to start writing stuff. And they're going to want to start doing something creative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to flourish in their own way. Hopefully for the better.
Yeah.
But going back...
Yeah, to James Gunn.
Back to James Gunn really quick. The original tweet says, I think Foster looks at film in an old-fashioned way where spectacle films can't be thought-provoking. It's often true, but not always. Her belief system is pretty common and isn't totally without bias. I say not without bias because most studio franchise films are quite soulless, and that is a real danger to the future of movies, but there are also quite a few exceptions. I usually think of those exceptions as the ones that become very popular at Sundance.
Yeah.
But don't go past Sundance.
Yeah.
There's a couple of movies that did come out that was Sundance that did really well, but you don't see those all too often.
No.
For cinema to survive, I believe spectacle films need to have a vision and heart they traditionally haven't. And some of us are doing our best to move in that direction. Creating spectacle films that are innovative, humane, and thoughtful is what excites me about this job. But to be fair, at least from Foster's quotes, she seems to see filmmaking as something that's primarily about her own personal growth. For me, that may be part of why I do this, but spending many millions of dollars on a film has to be about more than that. It's communication. So my experience is merely one spoke on that wheel. But I respect Foster and what she's done for films, and I appreciate her different way of looking at Hollywood's landscape. End quote.
Yeah, I mean, I actually love that response because it's a very insightful reply to what she had said in the interview without insulting her, per se. It's right. Just, he understands that.
And I got to give it to her for it as well because those are the types of comments that really inflame
Yeah.
fans.
Oh, yeah. There's some hate.
I'm pretty sure she's got some hate on
those.
So
I read some of those tweets. Just from comments from James Gunn's tweet trying to defend it. It's like, guys, you know this doesn't matter, right? Calm down, dudes.
Yeah.
You like what people... I understand. They like what you like, and she is not part of that demographic that will like these films. Not saying that she ever will, or maybe she will at some point. It just needs the right film to get her into it. At the same time, I always look at it, listen, ticket prices are not... Are not getting any cheaper. You know, there has to be a reason why people want to go to the theaters and watch these movies. And last I checked, she doesn't, I mean, I could be wrong, but she doesn't make any movies that go straight to video.
No, she doesn't.
They're all cinema, they're all theatrical releases. That means that at some point or another, you're going to need something that's compelling enough for someone to get out there. Not saying that you need a big blockbuster, but, you know, right now, people who want to go out to the theaters are probably going to see a hero movie. There's a good chance.
And I can also understand where she's coming
from. Yes, exactly.
In the sense of we have movies like, and I know we always talk about this, we always knock it, but we always talk about Transformers.
Yes.
Yeah. Or we'll talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And that's probably what she's directing it more towards.
Probably.
In that direction because.
Because they are very superficial.
They're very superficial. They're visuals. For the sake of being visual.
Yeah, they're popcorn movies.
There's no real depth or soul into it.
No, not at all.
Like, any person that has watched the Transformer movies,
mm-hmm.
I believe, should watch The Death of Optimus Prime, the animation, like the animated one.
Mm.
Well, hear me out on this for a second. The idea that everything that we always see for the Transformer movies are trying to be explosive and spectacle, like basically what she was describing.
Yeah. Well, that's a Michael Bay. Unfortunately, that franchise made by Michael Bay. So that's explosion and spectacle.
Right. Exactly.
That's where he gets his money from.
And more power to him for it.
Explosions.
But when we have someone like Optimus Prime being killed by Megatron, a lot of people that follow the Transformers series,
yeah.
they'll never admit it. They'll never openly admit it, but they cry.
No, I admit that. I admit that in the animated movie. I remember watching it in theaters, being upset as a kid, seeing Optimus Prime get killed. And then I remember admitting it to my wife as I'm watching Transformers 2, Rise of the Fallen, that I can't believe that I'm going through this again, watching Optimus Prime die on screen as I'm watching it. I'm going to gladly admit that. My thing saying about how I watched Optimus Prime's death in animated feature is that movie is not fantastic. I've watched it many times. I watch it at least twice a year. And I'm not talking about the live action. I'm talking about the original animated one, because it is... It felt like now watching it that interns had edited it together, because it is not great. The music... The thing is, it didn't hold up, because... How the music's edited, it during dialogue scenes, the background music kicks on really loud.
So it's hard to hear them.
So it's hard to hear them talk, like hearing Weird Al's song Dare to Be Stupid, like over, like there's an action sequence happening, there's dialogue occurring, and then Dare to Be Stupid. Sorry, I didn't mean to yell, but yeah, you hear them, like, what the fuck, guys?
Let me ask you something. If they were to actually fix all that, do you think it would be a better movie?
It probably would. There's some weird edits in there. And it's because, you know, they did it quickly on the cheap. It's the same team that did the TV series. So, I mean, it's a kids' cartoon movie.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying that there's no emotional value in it. Fucking, I cried as an adult and as a child watching them. I'm like, no, not Optimus. Now I think, oh, fuck this. They're going to bring him back anyway.
Because no one stays dead in cartoons.
No, not at all. He came back like twice in the cartoon series. Once as a villain and the second time like, oh, I'm back again, guys. I'm a hero.
Okay. Maybe I used the wrong example for that.
Probably.
One. So let me still Transformers, really.
Yeah.
Okay. The death of Dinobot.
Oh, man.
On the Beast Wars Transformers.
Oh, yeah. Well, Beast Wars is fantastically written. It is super good. Animation, I'm not a fan of, but it's really good.
Well, it was pretty good for its time.
Yeah. Well, even then, I wasn't on board with it, to be honest. But no, Dinobot was awesome.
Dinobot was a beast.
War.
But
see what I got there?
Nah.
Anyway. But yeah, no, the writing on that is really good.
So there could be context on these crazy... out of your mind kind of content. It's just being able to give it a chance to do so.
Well, I mean, having people behind it that do a good work, and it helps. Like what you're giving an example of is like with Beast Wars, it was a cartoon series, so you have many episodes to give a chance to build up on. But you know, when it comes down to it, it's who is running it, what's the goal as far as the movie goes. And, you know, like I said, for example, you know, not everything can be Guardians of the Galaxy. When that came out, I honestly didn't think it would be that great. Not just because I didn't think.
Because a lot of people thought, who the fuck are the Guardians of the Galaxy?
I mean, I was like, they're making a Guardians of the Galaxy movie? Why would they do that? No one likes that series. And then they made it. And fuck yeah, I want to watch this. I want to watch more. And they, even though it's a big budget movie, it still had a heart. It still had great characters in it. You still want to believe in it. And of course, soundtrack is amazing.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, what else is there to say?
I don't know. I mean, she's right to her opinion, and that A, not wrong, B, not right.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's like, well, not everything's gonna be, you know, Batman v Superman. Sometimes you might get a Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe she did see Batman v Superman and then it was just like
she's friends with Ben Affleck. Say, hey man, hey Jody, that's my terrible Ben Affleck impersonation.
Yeah.
Jody, watch this movie; you'll really like it.
And she got scarred for life for it,
Martha. yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the next thing we want to talk about, because there's so much stuff going on, and we went on a little long on that. What's the next one you want to go with?
Let's talk about video games for a bit.
So you want to talk about the good, the bad? Actually, I want to say something here. We did it earlier, but I want to congratulate Nintendo. Nintendo, again, highest selling or fastest selling. I'm assuming it's based on the within the year time frame. But Nintendo Switch is the fastest selling console in the United States ever, which is amazing to me. They got to, I guess in 10 months, they oversold everybody. Let me see what the exact numbers are. But, I mean, congratulations, Nintendo. Fuck, man, you're doing really good.
You know what? They try to stay as innovative as humanly possible. Sometimes they hit it out of the park, and sometimes they completely whiff it. But this was one of those hit it out of the park moments. So, yeah, you're right. Congratulations, Nintendo, on that.
It's this funny article I saw online. There is a Tumblr feed I follow where they see all these articles from the last, I think it was from when the Nintendo Wii came out. And how there's all these articles from businesses saying Nintendo needs to sell off all their IP and go third party, like Sega did. Nintendo needs to go into mobile, which isn't necessarily not true because they did do that, but it's not their big thing. But, you know, then it cuts to this year. Nintendo, amazing innovator, hybrid console, sells, let's see what the exact numbers is. All right, so during the 10 months following the Switch's launch on the 3rd, they sold 4.8 million units. Wow, that's actually a lot. This record for fastest-selling console in the year was Nintendo's Wii, based in 2006, which went on to top-selling consoles in history worldwide. Let's see here. Yeah, but yeah, that's a lot of consoles for a year. Like, that's a lot. Then they say that, they've sold 10 million units worldwide in the first 9 months. That is crazy numbers. Not saying that it's going to sustain itself. I don't know anything of that. But anyways, kudos to them. Because that's fucking baller. I mean, I'm happy. As people know, I've talked about
and
it.
It's even come down to the point where third-party developers are now jumping back on board.
Oh, yeah. There's like, they have games coming out every month. And granted, we've talked about it before. They are dipping into the indie gaming scene, which, you know, that's not saying anything new. But fuck, you get to take this on the go with you.
Yeah.
Because all these...
Dude, Rocket League on the go.
I know. And they had it on sale. It was like $15 during the holidays. I'm like, fuck, I missed it, so I didn't jump on it.
Okay.
But anyways, so that's that part.
So congratulations, Nintendo.
Yes.
But over the holiday season, it was announced that the World Health Organization.
The WHO. It's WHO, not the WHO. Oh, it'd be awesome if they actually had the WHO's the never mind.
They were the ones that classified
You're
it.
You're like, yeah, the WHO. I'm like, wait, what? Singing magic.
The World Health Organization. Yes. Has classified gaming disorders as a legitimate disease.
I get.
So I saw this on the news while I was at work, and I was like, what the hell, really? The article is, I saw it on Newsy. Gaming disorder is going to be classified as a real illness. World Health Organization is recognizing gaming disorder as an addiction, but health experts should have some caveats for the classification. So this was posted on December 26th, so a bit old news, but still something worth talking about. The World Health Organization is updating its international classification of diseases, and it's going to recognize a controversial health topic, gaming disorder. The draft of the ICD classifies gaming disorder as a disorder due to addictive behaviors. It's said to manifest when gamers lose control of how much or how intensely they play. This can affect gamers' personal and professional lives and possibly lead to anxiety or withdrawal. Past studies by other health groups have considered gaming disorders a real condition, but with some caveats. Research into the quote-unquote disorder have shown that the proposed symptoms of gaming may actually indicate discontent with other aspects of life. In other words, gaming may just be a coping mechanism, not an addiction. Because of this, some health experts want to draw a hard line between excessive but non-problematic gaming and the small minority of users whose gaming does impair their lives. These experts worry the current conversations about gaming disorders will lead to panic and stigmatization. Still, many lawmakers and health officials have likened gaming addiction to gambling, most recently in regards to loot boxes, which are randomized in-game rewards that players can win or buy with real money. This is what I was talking about off the air. Hawaii State Rep Chris Lee referred to one game that sells boxes as an online casino designed to lure kids into spending money.
I mean,
that's the entire article.
I know that's the article. I'm just gonna say that's not what they're saying is not wrong, but the problem is that's like anything.
They're trying to use something else that's going on outside of that as an excuse to empower your argument for this.
Yeah, I'm like, bros, first of all, the loot crate, they're like, dude, that's not every video game has that. Like, not everything's like that. Also, arguably saying almost any behavior or activity you do, you can consider addiction if it's done excessively enough. Like, I'm sure, well, not saying there's a podcast addiction. We do not suffer from that.
Yeah.
But
clearly, the last 2 weeks should show otherwise.
Yes. But it's like, no, man, then you might want to classify social media as an addiction because there's tons of people I know who are on that way more than they are playing video games.
I think one of the leading causes to it also is the ease of access to games, because now we have a supercomputer in the palm of our hand.
Yeah, I got our smartphone
that can download so many games, some that are free, some of that are that you do have to pay for, and then there's the freemium games where they're free, but you'll grow faster if you put money into this.
Play to win.
Play to win, right. Or pay to win, excuse me.
Sorry, yes, pay
and, to win. And, you know, it's... For them, I could understand why there is the concern. I wouldn't say it's a panic. I'd say it's a concern.
Of course.
But when it comes down to video games, I always saw it ultimately as... You know, when you get into gaming, you get into gaming as a kid.
Yeah.
Very rarely do adults start playing video games, unless it's usually for therapeutic reasons.
Yeah.
Like, I know people who lost feelings in their hands.
Yes.
They'll have to play video games to regain hand-eye coordination. Oh, yeah. Things yeah, like yeah, yeah. that. But primarily, you play video games at a young age.
Yeah.
I played... The earliest memory of a video game that I have is 5. I've probably played games before that.
Mm-hmm.
But the earliest memory I can remember is my mom coming home with a Nintendo... And we're playing Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt.
Hey, yeah, that's a lot.
That is the earliest that I can remember as far as gaming. But I'd like to think I'm a fully functioning adult.
Yeah,
I hate the adult part. I really do.
Yeah,
but I'm a fully functioning adult. I go to work. I pay my taxes.
Yeah,
I stay out of trouble. I don't think I've raged out on games.
Yeah,
but. And if you want to see it, you can watch some of our Let's Play videos of me losing my shit. But at the same time...
It's fleeting. At the same time, it's fleeting.
I haven't actually gone outside and kicked the crap out of somebody.
No.
Because I had a hard time playing Cuphead.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it comes down to the person. Obviously, they might not be talking about you or I. They may be talking about people who get sucked into it more. But obviously, I think it comes down to an underlying issue aside from that. Like,
think about it. They said they were using it as... I'm sorry to interrupt, but they're using it as a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Do you think that person got enough hugs when they were growing up?
It's like...
Or were they just stuck in front of that?
Yeah.
And that's all they know now because they didn't get any attention from mom or dad.
Or maybe they're upset about something. Oh, girlfriend broke up with them. This is how they deal with it. You know, instead of talking about it or dealing with it, they are doing that instead. And, I mean... It's like, am I addicted to Netflix? Is that a problem? Am I addicted to all these other things?
I remember there was a former wrestler. I absolutely love her. She's awesome. She's adorable. And one of the things that she said was, I don't like your tone that you're giving me Netflix. And it was one of those things where it's just like, do you think you might have been watching too much Netflix?
Yeah, I think you might be too much like if you're talking to it like that.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we may be a little biased because we love video games. I am a gamer. My son is a gamer. I actually just got him a 3DS XL for Christmas.
Aw.
And he loves it. I didn't think he'd be into it because all he's used to doing is touch screens. But, you know, he's playing these games. And
I think what it really comes down to when it comes down to just gaming in general is... It's how it's presented to the person themselves.
Yeah.
It's how you presented video games to your son. Yeah. In this case, if it came down to it for me, you would have it where, I'm going to play video games, but I'll also get video games so that my kid can play it.
Yeah.
So that his thought process isn't necessarily that, I'm just going to play video games. It's now quality time between me and dad.
We've talked about it before. I played Mario Odyssey with him. We beat the game and everything. I have a good time. I actually just helped him beat a boss in Hey Pikmin because he's trying to ask YouTube for videos on how to beat the boss. And it's adorable seeing his cute little voice goes, how do you beat level 3 boss, Hey Pikmin? I'm like, buddy. Aww. I looked at him like... Buddy, come here. Let me help you with this.
Let me take the strategy guide away from you, guide being the tablet.
It's like a tablet. I'm like, hey, let's just try this.
Let's figure this out together.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously he's on break, so he's been playing a lot, but I'm like, no, we're going to play with your toys.
Let's go outside. We're going to go to a park or something.
Well, we're not doing that now because it's raining here.
It's raining hell.
Raining. It's going to rain.
It's going to rain.
But yeah, I mean, I get why they're doing that because video games is being such a prevalent thing, but I have to look at, I want to see what studies they did to define this.
Right. And also,
and to throw in that loot crate thing, I'm like,
we're not even going to register that. Cause that was just them trying to, whoever wrote the article is basically just trying to enforce their point. But, on the flip side of things though, I could also see where it can get crazy.
Of course.
And it's not,
I mean, we've seen things.
There was an article that came out that just blew my mind. when it, 'cause it gets, it's not necessarily the video games themselves, but it's the competitiveness of it.
Oh yeah.
Where now we're talking about people who are earning money,
yeah,
doing this. We've had those tournament players
talking about players who, you know, may get banned from other communities because of their behavior.
Right. There was somebody that just recently got unbanned, but he got unbanned after what, 2 years of, yeah, being banned from the game.
Yeah. From the community that supports it.
The one that drove me nuts was, somebody got swatted.
Oh yeah,
but
what the fuck was that about?
This one actually ended badly because the guy that was being swatted got killed.
Yeah.
At the end of it, because, and you know, there's that whole thing of the cop thinking that he was in danger, even though the guy was just looking at people. That's a separate thing altogether.
That's a separate discussion.
But it turns out after a couple of days that the guy who did the swatting was a rival of his.
Yeah. And bragged about it online.
And bragged about the and stupid that's how he got fuck. A, the yeah, stupid fuck he, said that, it, and I would do it again.
Then that guy got arrested.
And he got arrested. He's a 25-year-old guy.
Like, you fucking idiot. Yeah. I hope that you
like that, that's
feel
someone,
super guilty about that.
I don't think he does, honestly.
Then never mind. I hope.
I think dude's a sociopath.
Dang. But in any case, I mean, the fact that they're terrible.
That's the thing. It's just, it wasn't. I know people do it for views and they do it for notoriety, but. This guy specifically said, this guy fucked with me.
That's bad.
And it was a competitive thing because it was a whole streaming thing.
I know. At the same time, who cares,
and
bro?
It's just like, yeah, you're taking it way too seriously.
Yeah.
Like, people forget that video games are supposed to be fun.
It's entertaining.
I understand the competitiveness of it. And I'll even go a little bit further and I say I understand the tournament and the making money off of playing video games. But honestly, dude, you're still making money. You still have people that are following, watching your streams.
Playing video games.
Playing fucking video games.
It's not that serious,
it's
dude.
It's not. Dude, your life is cake at the moment.
Yeah.
And you fucking threw it all away.
Yeah.
Because of a Call of Duty thing. Now you're arrested for murder. I don't know. I don't think it's first degree. I think I might fall under manslaughter.
Yeah. I think that's going to happen. Also, I also feel bad because, you know, involved people who shouldn't have. Like, the police officers are involved in that. They were just responding to a call. That's how they were doing their job. Now, how it played out, hey, that's a whole different discussion, like we said. But now you've put blood on someone else's hands. It's like, come on, dudes. Come on, man.
So there is that part where it's
yes,
just like,
we
okay.
We totally understand where you could see that would be an issue.
That gaming can be an issue. But again.
But that's not directly, like, I feel being considered a disorder.
Yeah, right.
There's a gaming addiction disorder. I mean, I guess is there other disorders for other different addictions?
I mean, you did bring up social media, and
yeah,
it's actually absolutely right.
I
about
like.
That
is
too.
There? Is there? I'm sure. If there isn't one already, I'm sure there's someone's gonna write one up.
I would address.
No, yeah.
Then a.
Because that's
video
everything.
Game disorder.
Because that's everywhere.
Yeah. What you put out there, it stays out there for the forever, unless the world no longer had electricity. No more electricity in the world. We went back into the dark ages. That's probably the only way that'll ever disappear. But.
Yeah.
I don't think that's happening anytime soon.
No. We still got power.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure there's somebody that's archived them in like low power.
Somewhere.
I mean, we've got solar power now, damn it. There's no way of getting around it.
That's true. We got everything going. Wind. We got it all.
So final thoughts on the video game disorder?
I mean, I get why they're trying to do it. That article that you had just read feels like it's a little biased and brings up that whole gambling thing in there. I'm like, it's not the same, dudes. That's not everything. Not every video game has that in there.
Right.
I'm not playing Mario Odyssey. Does not have a thing where I'm gonna be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get this. No, man, everything's the same.
Fair enough. I think it's, if people are using it as a coping mechanism, then good. To a degree.
Yeah, as long as it's not hurting
because
anybody.
Because it's not hurting anybody. If you're able to get that off of your chest by playing a game,
it's a way to blow off steam.
Okay. I'm totally cool with it. I don't think it's anything farther than that. And I hope that I don't read an article in 2 or 3 weeks that absolutely proves me wrong on this. And it's just like, oh, somebody went psycho because this and that reason. And it involved this video game. And it's just like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
But I'll even go ahead and say that video games are also an easy target for anything.
Yeah.
Anything media related was always an easy target. when people started acting, when they stopped behaving or anything, oh, it's that crazy rock music that the kids are listening to on the radio. And then when people started doing things differently, it's just like, oh, it's those terrible movies that kids are watching.
When you talked about the rock band, like, I'm trying to think of the rock music that was around, like, you know, Jeff Flack because of the songs. And, like, that's a band that literally sang a song about holding a girl's hand. And that was supposed to be the risque.
What they probably did was they also blamed the Beatles for the Rolling Stones because Rolling Stones was a direct response to the
Beatles. Of course.
So they're like, damn those Beatles, because of them now we have the Rolling
Stones. Or even like if you listen, I remember Kiss got flack for like the way they looked. I'm like, did you ever listen to their songs? They're great songs, but by no means do I think I want to rock and roll a night party or like, especially how they sang it. You could get a boy band to sing that song. It'd probably be almost the same.
Yeah.
Granted, but without the rock and music back.
But it's the idea of just like, okay.
But it's something different.
It was a new medium. Everybody just started attacking it. And video games at this point, it's their turn now.
Well, because it's so big now. They're making tons of money. That's very prevalent. It's so easy to get to now. But it's still, the problem is there's a perception with video games that it's still a kid's thing.
Ultimately, it is up to the individual. It is their responsibility that if they're going to be playing video games or they're going to introduce video games to a younger audience, that they realize it is their responsibility to make sure that they get taught well with them. That everything they see in a video game is not real.
Yeah.
And that video games are not anything that are meant to be super serious.
And also, your behavior while playing video games or like react to video games doesn't need to... It's entertainment.
Right.
It's meant to be fun. Have fun, folks. Don't go too crazy. Don't be dumb.
No, be dumb.
Don't be dumb. Don't be dumb. Don't be dumb. Don't rage quit while playing Words with Friends. I'm just saying.
That could get very annoying.
I know. Seriously.
Jerk.
you're talking about music before. Really quick, that festival series, well, festival show, Coachella announced their headliners, and
not a rock band in sight.
They got the closest was because it's Eminem, Beyonce, and I can't remember who the third one is.
I guess rock and roll music is officially no longer mainstream.
Well, the thing is, I'm surprised they didn't ask any because a lot of rock bands you can get like you don't want to get just anybody headlining, but you know, Foo Fighters, for example, I'm like, you can't headline Coachella. They couldn't ask them. U2, come on, man. They're big time. They're big time, man.
I think U2 might be too big for a festival.
For Coachella? You think they would just have their own concert?
Yeah. Well, because if you think about it, like they've sold out arenas.
Yeah, it's true.
Imagine how crazy it would be if they were at an outside festival. It might be a bit too much.
Yeah. And I get it. It was just interesting because I remember I brought that up to him. I'm like, wow, it's the first time ever that they've never had a rock band show up. I mean, I'm curious as to... if anyone's turned them down because of like scheduling or having to do a festival
or political party representation. Because
like
even that, like I keep one of the things that I saw immediately after that was one of the guys was saying, like, oh, he's still, you know, give such and such money to a piece of shit people. Da, da, da. Just like ignore.
Yeah. It's not down to.
I get it. It is worth mentioning. But at the same time, I wasn't going to go anyways.
Yeah. I'm not huge in Coachella because I like festivals like that. I'm not a huge fan of them just because that's a lot of time. And
you're standing all day.
Oh, my God. Nope. Not interested.
And water is like $12 for your standard bottle, not even a large one.
Never mind that you paid probably $20 to park, if that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'd rather just see the individual bands. But it is weird because I saw them like, Coachella, really? They couldn't get one band out there.
I remember too that the event that they have at Glasgow started becoming less and less rock.
Yeah,
they started doing anything like. There was that one year that Kanye was the headliner.
Oh yeah. I remember that. I mean, it comes down to it's what's available, what's trending. Obviously, in the mainstream scenes, rock is not as prevalent as it used to be. But obviously, there's still bands out there. There's new groups that are coming up and everything. It's just a matter of whether or not they get airplay. So I don't think it's necessarily. Like an article points out, it's like, oh, it's the total decline of rock. I'm like, yeah, of course it is. But that's just styles of music changes all the time.
Not to mention, like, I can't really think of very many of the major artists coming out with anything new around the time of Coachella.
Yes, because that's when they'd want to do that.
Yeah.
You want to promote that.
They can promote that. Then agencies would actually try to reach out to the representatives of Coachella and say, like, hey, you know, these guys have a new album.
Yeah.
You know, this would be a great way to... capitalize on it. Like, they're already on tour, so they can swing by Coachella on the way to the next show.
Exactly.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but Foo Fighters did come out with something recently, but that's kind of already gone and passed.
I mean, it's not going to come in time. Also, it probably comes down to, because Coachella, it's how many days?
It's like 40? 2 weekends.
Two weekends? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So if you can't make the first one, you can make the second one. Most of the artists still stay behind. Or they'll leave and then they'll come back for the second weekend.
I want to say logistically, as far as a rock band goes, no bueno on that. Because, you know, it's not just you. Like, you know, Eminem goes there. Obviously, he has a crew that he's going to work with. All these different things. But really, it just depends on him.
It's just accommodating for Eminem.
Yeah.
You know, whereas you have a guitarist, a drummer, rhythm guitarist, lead guitarist.
You can't replace. You can't replace those guys. I mean, you can, but you know, generally, it's you need the whole band.
Right.
They're not... It's not like if Dave Grohl says, I don't feel like doing this, guys. And then he bounces out. I'm like, no, man, as a fan, I'd be pissed off.
Hell yeah, I would.
I'd be like, no, man, can get him back.
Yeah, what the hell?
We'd come back here. So, not saying that they would do that, I'm sure.
Are you telling me there was a red M&M and his green M&Ms?
And he's gone.
Rookie mistake!
What's going on, bros? but yeah, I mean, it is a bummer. At the same time, I feel like that festival has gotten so big and overblown, then I'm like, maybe it's good that no one wants to show up. Not no one, but a rock band wouldn't show up for that. Because I feel like that's a lot.
I'm wondering if there's any horror stories. Like,
I'm sure there is.
That would probably be one of the things that I'd ask anybody who's headlining. Because I know Red Hot Chili Peppers at one point headlined.
Yeah, they did. Was it a couple years ago? I think they did like from 2011 to 2013.
And that was probably one of the questions that I asked. Like, was there anything crazy that happened when you were at Coachella when you headlined it? Or even just that weekend?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because it's 3 days. You don't know what's going to happen. Cripes.
It's insane. I mean, I'm trying to think of any rock bands that would love to see going there. Like I said, U2, but again, it's like, are they big enough to headline, but not too large where they're like, why the fuck would he even be here?
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. What else we got going on here? Oh man. So Dan Harmon's apparently a dick.
Yes, admittedly.
So here's the thing. I have heard that Dan Harmon is the type of guy who is a nerd supremacist.
A little bit.
Where it's
he's
like,
very impassionate about the work he does.
Not just, but he would be the type of person that would go up to someone who's enjoying the MCU universe, and he would go up to him and is like, that's your introduction? I actually read the comics that it was based on.
Yeah, yeah.
Things like that.
Yes.
And it even came to the point where a mutual friend of ours, Manny, refused to watch Rick and Morty because of that. Because it's that lovely. And then we showed him Baby Legs.
Oh, God.
He still hasn't watched it. He's the potential of that show. But, so we kind of already had an idea of just him being an ass.
Yes.
And even, he's even gone on record self-admittedly and said, yeah, I'm an ass.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think it was to this level.
I mean, I'm not surprised. At the same time, still disappointed.
Very much so, yeah. Before we get into this, let me just go ahead and say, before you ever jump to any types of conclusions, always walk a mile in another man's shoes, or another woman's shoes, or another child's shoes. I recently moved, and I don't have a dedicated parking spot, so I have to do street parking. And one of the things that I always see are people who are assholes when they park.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about it. I was like, well, maybe they're not an asshole because maybe they were adjusting their parking spot based off of someone that came before that I'm not seeing.
Yes.
So me jumping to that conclusion, me getting all upset about it, is pretty messed up. So why did I bring this up? Well, it kind of falls into the category of what's going on with Dan Harmon. So on his podcast, he had mentioned, or on his Twitter, excuse me, he had mentioned that the year 2017 was the year of the asshole. And he went on this whole thing. He went on, I know I'm repeating myself. He went on Twitter, and when he posted this, one of his former writers from Community chimed in, and it was along the lines of, would you like to elaborate on that? And I'm trying to see if I can find the entire Twitter conversation, because it's long, but it's worth reading.
Yes.
Because this kind of gives you an idea of what you can do to a person
mm-hmm.
and how it can fuck a person up.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I've got something here. He comes out and he says, 2017, year of the asshole. And then Megan Gans was an original writer for Community,
mm-hmm.
responded to that by saying, care to be more specific? Redemption follows elocution. And then Dan Harmon responded, and this is long. This we may even go over the hour,
yes.
but I really, really think this is something that's worth bringing up. Harmon's reply to that was just shown this, and a previous subtweet, I think, oh, go away, freaking advertisements. You can talk as much shit as you want on advertisements that pops up on your phone, people. I'm going to go ahead and give that to you right now. People, treat them cool. Advertise them, fuck them.
Fuck those guys.
Yeah.
That's not what Dan Harmon said.
No.
That's not. That's not
that was all that. Emmanuel
that's
right
all
there.
That's all E-Man right there.
Okay. Was just shown this, and a previous subtweet I think was about me. I didn't want to add narcissism to injury by naming you without permission, but I've talked on my podcast about the lines I crossed. I will talk about it more in any way that you think is just. I am deeply sorry. I am filled with regret and a lot of foggy memories about abusing my position, treating you like garbage. I would feel a lot of relief if you told me there was a way to fix it. I'll let you call the shots. Till then, at least I know I was an awful boss and a selfish baby. Her response was, I wish my memories were foggier. I wish there was a way to fix it. It took me years to believe in my talents again, to trust a boss when he complimented me and not cringe when he asked for my number. I was afraid to be enthusiastic, knowing it might be turned against me later. You want relief? So do I. I want to watch the first episode of television I wrote again without remembering what came after. Figure out how to give me that relief and I'll return the favor. I haven't listened to your podcast, but I don't think walls are the answer. Unless you put them up with male coworkers too. Otherwise, you're falling into the Mike Pence school of gender relations that says men can't be trusted with women's phone numbers. But I can offer this. It's good to recognize power dynamics, but it's also good to recognize you're no different from those you employ. You are not a king on a hilltop, nor a beast in a labyrinth. Isolation isn't always best. Connection breeds empathy. Empathy allows growth. Dan Harmon comes out. Good point. I don't mean I started handcuffing myself to radiators like a werewolf. I mean I stopped letting the lines between colleague and relationship be so undrawn that anyone in the vicinity of those lines or anyone that loves a show is beholden to a man-child's feelings. What the fuck did you do, Dan Harmon?
Obviously, he, like he said, abused power and made it very uncomfortable for this poor writer to be around him while working on this project.
Look, I could understand if you're trying to push somebody to do better.
Yes.
And I know that some people do that idea of just like, like, if I were to say, Randy Kings, your podcasting's a piece of shit. And aww, your response would be, I'm going to show this son of a bitch that it's not a piece. I'm not a piece of shit when it comes to podcasting. I understand some of those things. But there's a line. There's a limit to it.
Oh, of course.
It's more so of, I guess if we were to put it in our situation, I would say, Randy Kings, you're doing great, but I know you can do better.
Okay.
I know you can pull in deep and grab something great out of it. That way, you know you're doing well and you're building towards something better. But from what it sounds like he's doing,
you're just tearing people down.
You're just tearing people down. And that's the worst part about it, is like when you start doing that and that starts getting out, it doesn't matter how good you are.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a point where someone's like, oh, Dan Harmon's involved? I want nothing to do with that. Well, and that's a shame, too,
yes,
because I'm sure that that other writer can add an insight to a show that he's working on that nobody else would have thought of.
Of course. It's just unfortunate because it's all these things where, essentially, it comes down to respecting your peers. Or, well, I mean, yes, I'm still use that peers. Because he may have been his show, but he had people he was working with to help make it.
Yeah, he wasn't writing every single letter of dialogue.
No, no, no.
He wasn't the only person that was working on it.
No.
He wasn't doing 24-hour sprints to try to get the show out. No, there was other writers there.
Yeah, there's a ton of work.
Production crews.
Yeah. All these people work helping to make this a thing. And unfortunately, it seems like he may have burned somebody from wanting to do this again. At the very least, not another project with him. I mean, I don't think he expected to get a response like that on social media, but at least he kept it going.
Right. And it wasn't, it wasn't a going back and forth thing. He came out and he admitted it. And that's always the first step.
Yeah.
And I actually commend her for how she responded when she said, "No, dude, do not isolate yourself."
Yeah. Essentially, it's like, no, you need to put yourself out there. But, you know, because cutting yourself off from other people, especially, you know, women or men or whatever, from working with them, that's not going to help you at all. It's basically like you're cutting people off. You need to behave better when around them. That's really the test.
And I feel so bad for her at the same time. Like, she's doing well, by the way. She came back and she's writing for other shows and everything. But it hurts to think that she can't watch her work without feeling a sense of dread behind it. That's the worst part about it. That's the type of thing that, despite however well that she's doing now, can still bother her.
Of course.
Like, I'd like to think that I am my own worst judge. I judge myself harshly on some of the podcasts. I shouldn't have said that, or I should have said it differently. But at the same time, it's me just doing it, and I'll still be like, well, that's a starting point, and I can jump forward from there.
Yes.
Community was an awesome fucking show.
Yeah.
And it started out great.
Yeah.
And you can't watch that now.
Well, I mean, we can.
Well, I'm talking about her.
Yes.
Like, you can't watch that now because it brings out the worst.
There's an emotional, there's a bad taste emotionally.
But again,
it comes with that.
I have so much respect for her because she is well within her rights to say, fuck off, dude. You live with that shit now. Yeah. And she's not doing that.
Yeah. Well, maybe not on social media. I'm sure. I would not think any less of her if she does say that.
Neither would I.
But, like, you know, in a fleeting manner. And then she's like, no, well, really. Because the guy's still trying to own it up. He's not being. It was totally unexpected, at least from how I'm perceiving it. It wasn't like something happened and he's just now apologizing. I mean, it's like he's venting and he's, you know, now someone's engaging with him. And instead of shutting it down, he's still engaging, you know, giving his side of everything.
No, yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And again, she could easily just not engage at all.
No.
She could have just left a message that says, "You're a piece of shit, dude."
Yeah.
And left it at that.
But no, it said.
But
she,
no, and she explains it so eloquently too. Yeah. Like, she you can tell she not only wants to move on for herself, but also move on for him.
Yeah.
And you think about all the shit that he put her through.
Yeah.
And no. she still wants it a little better for him, not like 100%, but
no. There's no ill will.
Yeah.
In what's going on there?
And I guess it's because maybe she's gotten her confidence back as a writer, that she's able to do such a thing. But it also goes back to what I was saying earlier about how we as people need to treat others.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure that we try to empower each other. And I'm trying. I don't want this to sound corny. I'm not trying to make this as like the after school special that you would see on TV or anything. But let's be perfectly honest about something. How much of a better world would we be in if we didn't necessarily think about our personal growth and thought about growing as a community?
That would be great. It would be fucking awesome.
Because it wouldn't be... You've heard the line, you give a man a fish and you feed him for a day.
Yeah.
You teach a man how to fish and you feed him for life.
Yeah.
I always thought that was probably the best way humanity will survive.
Yeah.
People need to, and don't get me wrong, it's nice to have expensive things. It's nice to have a PlayStation 4. It's nice to have an Xbox One. It's nice to have a supercomputer in our hands. But on the flip side of that, you know, I want someone else to have a supercomputer in their hands so that we can play games together. We can send messages to each other. We can do things together instead of just thinking, oh, that poor sap has an outdated phone. Whatever. We don't need him anyway. No, well, I mean, that dude can probably have something that can enrich in your life.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not anything materialistic, but that's probably one of the coolest motherfuckers you're ever going to meet.
Exactly. I mean,
but you're immediately making that thought of, I'm better than him.
Yeah, we just need to be, 2018 needs to be a year where we're just cool with each other. I wouldn't say cool, but we're, you know, no need to tear someone down. You don't need to tear anyone down. We, like you said, you need to, we need to build each other up. Because, you know, it's not, I can't even imagine working in a place where it's like that. And then, you know, obviously there's all these things that come with, like, you know, your work, people were like, oh, you work with Dan Harmon, that's so great. And now you have to be the person that goes, you know, you think it would be.
Yeah, right. He's like, yeah, yeah, not so much fun.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Like you say it under your breath. And I know it may seem contradictory because we usually take pot shots at celebrities and whatnot.
Of course.
But at the same time, look at the totem poles.
I know. We don't, they don't give a shit about us. Also, we don't work with them.
Right.
We don't actually have any real interaction. We don't wish any ill will to anybody out there.
Except for pop-up ads. You can go fuck yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, of course we want to build things up and we want to have fun times. That's why we want to invite as many people to that barbecue as possible.
Yeah. That's why we go on this podcast every week make idiots of ourselves.
It's like we're just talking and drinking. Well, I am. You'd have it in quite some time. But for 100th episode, we're going to do more shots.
We'll see.
More shots. But anyway, but yeah, you know, good.
Drink.
Drink. Good for her for having the strength to at least discuss it in a cordial manner.
I'll tell you what. The next drink we do will be for Megan Gans.
Hey, there you go. Invite her to the Word Vomit Barbecue.
Hell yeah.
Come on down.
You know what? I'm writing that now.
Yeah, write her name down. It's like, you're in.
Megan.
And by you're in, we're going to find a stock photo of you and Photoshop it.
Yeah, Gans. Let's see.
At your desk.
I'm going to try to add as many names. We had Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo. We said
Danny. Because we're gonna see this entire list, and it's going to be freaking
huge.
It's like,
here's who we invited to the party.
Okay, we did Vin Diesel.
We did say Vin Diesel,
didn't
we?
We did say Vin Diesel, because he's originally from Hayward, right?
Yes, all of Linkin Park.
LP. Yeah, yeah, we'll put LP on there. Who else did we say?
Yeah, we got to re-listen. We talked about how we should re-listen and talk
about all
the time.
I know, and it's going to be so long.
It's like, fuck, who do we invite all these folks?
We're going to look for like 7 hours of podcast, and we're only going to get like three names.
Fuck.
Oh, man.
Got to look at all the episodes that I was on.
We did some shitty episodes in the past.
Hey, hey, hey. We have episodes. That's what matters. Published on iTunes. That's where we are.
Boom.
But yeah, it's like, I mean, we have a lot of folks that we want there. And, you know, I just want to, we joke about talking crap about certain celebrities or people in certain station. Yes, because we're not associated with them. And if you are, if you're in Hollywood or if you're in an entertainment business, and if you think about your dynamic with someone else and it's not great, you have a chance to change it.
Learn from the mistakes of Dan Harmon.
Yeah. It's like, just be cool
if that's the one thing that we can take away from his dickery.
Apologize. If they accept it, they accept it. If they don't, they don't. Say your piece and change your behavior. You don't got to be an asshole to go through this world.
It would actually be better if you weren't.
Yeah, I really prefer it.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick. You can be a total jerk about things, or you can be nice and polite about stuff.
And don't think your celebrity status makes you immune to social norms.
Well, yes. This year has been like that, right?
Yep, pretty much.
Just
because
you're a celebrity doesn't mean you're getting away with this.
Oh, it's raining hell right now.
For a lot
of
folks.
Fire and brimstone. It's finally catching up to everybody.
I'm still weirded out that whole, we talked about it before, about how Landau had a button on his door, on his desk to lock the door from the inside.
Gross.
I'm like, oh, that's weird.
I'm going to keep this page, and we're just going to start adding
just adding names.
Yeah.
I got to think back on who was it we invite to the party? We talked about Chris Pratt, didn't we? We said Chris Pratt.
I don't think we did Pratt.
Pratt.
I guess it wouldn't be bad to have Pratt, though.
No, no. I don't
know. I know I said Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl, definitely.
Well, I said Dave Grohl.
I feel like we can't invite all the Foo Fighters, then.
It's going to be a lot of food we're going to need to buy.
Yeah.
Because even Danny Trejo's taco trucks, we're still going to have to provide something.
Well, yes. I mean, we're going to give Danny Trejo money for those tacos.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
Support him.
I want him to show up, though, in his Sling commercial where he's the beer bartender for the craft beers. I don't know if you've seen that ad.
No. I want to see him come in as Cuchillos from Desperado.
No, I wouldn't.
He has all the cool-ass knives.
It would be dope, but I want him to
And then he just pulls one out to start cutting the steak.
image of Danny Trejo sling commercial. But he has a commercial.
Oh,
where,
we said The Rock. I know we said
The
Rock.
Oh, yeah, Dwayne Johnson. Yeah, yeah.
Dwayne Johnson.
There. Ads. He has one where he's like in a, not the dress. Oh, here. Don't pull up the video. See, I'm not going to play it because it's an audio, but that's what he looked like.
Oh, jeez.
He actually has one where he has glasses on because he's like a bartender, but the guy's trying to order ridiculous craft beers. Like, I want one with a fruity flavor, but at the same time, wood. And he's like, here's the IPA I made out of my bathtub. He goes, okay, I'll take a growler of that. Like, ugh.
Who wants a bathtub mint julep?
I'm like, ugh, that's so gross. But yeah, he looks so ridiculous like that. All he needs is a glass. I'm like, all right, he's in.
Yep.
He can hang out with us now. He'll be like the most dapper looking dude we'd hang out with.
Right.
And then have him change into the Cachillo from freaking Desperado.
Cachillos, yes.
Oh, God, he's so badass in that movie.
How many shots did it take before he finally went down, too?
It was a lot. Yeah. He took a
and he was still going. Like he was holding his side, and he was still throwing knives.
He killed hella fools with the knives in there, and he didn't run out.
No, he didn't.
He had, like, a whole bunch left, and I remember the part that got me was when the guys were in the limo, and he went just threw knives down.
He jumped on top, and he just started chucking them in there.
Like, that's first of all, he's very intimidating looking. Danny Trejo.
Already.
He is scary, and at that point, you see him. He's got the leather vest, knives, long flowing hair, and just throwing him down. Anybody who hasn't seen Desperado, check it out. It's fucking dope.
He even uses the knives to dial the phone. How badass is that?
That was so ridiculous.
All right, great episode for the start of 2018.
2018!
All right.
In the books, we got it, folks.
Final words, Randy King.
Final words, I guess. You know, hey, man, happy 2018, bro.
Right on, right on. For Randy Kings, I am Emmanuel. Thank you so much for listening to the Word Vomit Podcast. Make sure you're liking, sharing, and subscribing. Make sure you follow us on social media. You can find out all the social media if you go to our SoundCloud page. You'll have links to every single one of them. So, hey, make sure you're liking, sharing those as well. This is Emmanuel reminding everybody to, hey, stay classy to each other.